Welcome back to Get Up. Hannah Storm in for Greeny. We are coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck on Pier 17, all the way from Minnesota this morning. It's Pat Bev. Alan Hahn is here, coming off his coverage of the Western Conference Finals. Vince Carter also in the house. Let's go.
Come on, get up.
We're getting up with Jaylen Brown, throwing it down to give Boston control of the Eastern Conference Finals. The question now, is it all over? Plus, big news from the NFL, Colin Kaepernick getting a tryout with the Raiders. Is this the first step towards an unprecedented comeback? And wait till you hear the one thing Dak Prescott said yesterday that will have expectations in Dallas going sky high. Well, aren't they always sky high in Dallas? Game of the night, Alan Jones. Up in here with the series tied at 2-2 Wednesday night, halfway through the first. We're going to see Jimmy Butler missing a three, and we saw a lot of missed threes from this team last night. He gets his own rebound, and Bam is there with the slam, but those missed threes really hurt them.
There were a lot of rebounds to be had. The Heat missed 38 threes in this game, franchise record and second most in NBA playoff history.
Just take that in, 38 threes. But you know what? Celtics were very sloppy in the first half of that game, 10 turnovers. Still, they only trailed by five, and then they turned it around, Alan, in the third quarter. Max Strus missing one of those threes, and Al Horford gets the rebound going coast to coast.
Old man winner. Look at him finish here. You know, don't worry about his age. Just worry about how he's playing and his impact on this Celtics team. That's why they brought him back, for his defense and leadership.
Here goes Tatum. He had trouble with that shoulder. He was touching it early on, that stinger that he suffered, but he really heated up in the third quarter. And here go the Celtics the other way off the turnover, and it's Tatum putting the Celtics up by nine. And then in the final seconds, and Jaylen Brown, he struggled in the first half too, turns it around.
But he and Tatum both got it going second half, combined for 37 points on 14 of 23. They just fed off each other and they put this game away.
Yeah, they finished that third quarter on a 10-0 run from the corner. Tatum putting the Celtics up 15 and then backing down poor Strus. 22 points, 12 rebounds, 9 dimes for Tatum. Celtics by 17.
Thank you, George.
Here you go. Wow. Jaylen Brown, take another look. Oh, that is a beauty. He has 25 points. Boston takes a 3-2 series lead. Here's Tatum.
You know, we can't think that it's over with, that, you know, we need to go back home like we down 3-2. With that sense of urgency, like that it's a must-win game, you know, not relaxing because we up. Obviously enjoying this one, but not being satisfied, knowing that we still got things to clean up. We still need to play better. And, you know, the job's just not finished yet.
True that, but they are going back home to close it out. And historically in playoff history, teams that win game five in a series tied at two games all go on to win the series 82% of the time. So, gentlemen, the Celtics outscore the Heat 32-16 in the third quarter. What's your biggest takeaway for how they turn that around?
First off, I'm looking at Jason Tatum in this post game. He giving me real Kobe Bryant vibes.
You yeah, know, like, okay.
Job's not finished. You know, we've seen Kobe do that. You know, rest in peace, Kobe. That 82%, I think you got to bump that up because they're going to be playing in Boston. And it's, I played in Boston. I mean, those fans are original.
Next level. original. That's a very lovely way of saying that.
We mentioned the run at the third quarter, and I think it starts with defense. I think it starts with attitude, and I think it starts with swagger. Somewhere throughout the series, the Boston Celtics is up their swagger and change their attitude, and they're clearly the dominant team in the series right now.
Man, they've demonstrating that defense time and time again, starting with the Nets series.
It has been, right, exactly. The defense in that series, getting the sweep, locking it down. That fourth game, completing the sweep of the Nets. It also shows you they're about taking care of business as soon as you can. And that's why I believe that's what will happen here. They did it also against the Bucks. Remember, it was a big road win, just like this one. Big road win in Milwaukee, and then you follow it up with a big home win in Game 7. You got to expect the same to happen here in this series with Miami. They'll give you one more punch because they're a proud team, but there's not a lot of gas left in that tank right now.
I mean, VC, Spo tried to put a good spin on it, saying, hey, we got the looks we wanted. You know, it just wasn't dropping. But what kind of credit do you give the Celtics defense here for Miami's shooting struggles?
And that's what we've seen since All-Star break is Boston's defense just stepping up, dominating, and being the best in the business right now. And they've done the same thing in the playoffs. And they did that in the third quarter. And that's what would impress me and what I like the most is they stepped their defense up. And then Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown in the third quarter, regardless of their struggles in the first half, they were in attack mode. They weren't settling for jump shots. You notice in those highlights, they were downhill, putting pressure on the defense. Then fourth quarter, they're able to feel good with their jump shots and mid-range. So, yes, their defense has been stellar, and it was stellar in the third quarter, which gave them a chance to pull off a big victory. I think they're going to go back to Boston, and they're going to dominate.
All right, so we have two teams with a chance to wrap this thing up at home and get to the finals. That would be the Warriors tonight, possibly their sixth finals in 8 years, and Boston, its first finals in a hot minute, in a long time, right? 2012. So head-to-head, Boston, Golden State, who do you like?
Golden State. State Golden.
That was very
Steph
definitive.
Curry,
very,
Steph,
very definitive.
However you want to put it. I just got to go with it.
Bev didn't even think about it.
Nope. Yeah, I mean,
don't need time.
Like, they're proven. They're proven. And if to go against them, I'll be a bad better. I'll be a real bad better.
All right, first finals in 12
years
for Boston.
I consume this show every day. And I couldn't believe earlier this week I was hearing people saying that whoever wins the East is winning the championship. It's like, you're not watching Golden State and where they are right now. That's what I'm glad you said. I'm glad we have some sense at the table
right now.
You're
covering the Western Conference Finals, right?
I'm watching it very closely. And just the Warriors are a machine. They are a machine right now. And they put a couple of 19-year-olds in the game who hadn't played, and all they did was chop a 29-point lead to 8. You know, like, they've got depth. They've got Steph Curry. They've got Klay. Second half Klay. Don't really see him in the first, but second half Klay. Draymond's the glue guy. There's so many pieces there, plus the core of a championship team. They are going to be tough to beat when they get to the finals.
Vince, Vegas has the Warriors as the favorite. What say you?
Say I, the Golden State Warriors as well. I feel like they have enough. And you look at when things are going bad, you can implement those young guys like Allen said, and that's what I like. And, you know, Klay Thompson is struggling the first half, but guess when money time is? In the second half and in the fourth quarter, and that's when he rises, and that's when he lives for the moment, and that's when you have to really pay attention to Klay Thompson is in the second half. So they have all the pieces. They have the experience. They understand the moment, and that will be the advantage that they have right there is understanding the moment to add with what they do on the floor.
So Boston, with a chance to get to the finals for the first time since 2010. Conversely, you picked, I know, the Miami Heat to win this series. So who let you down?
I don't think a certain team let me down. I just think that I'm really anxious to see, you know, when all said and done, what happened in the series. I want to talk to somebody from Boston. I want to get educated about it because something happened where I don't know if Coach U told those guys to keep attacking or go at these guys or pick those guys up because whatever they did, it's working. It is working.
But what happened to the Heat?
Level.
Like if you had to talk to somebody on the Heat about what happened, what are you seeing? Why?
I'm looking at the starting lineup, even with Kyle Lowry out there, I don't think it's a lot of fear there. I don't think you match up with Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
You match up with Marcus Smart, it's different than matching up with Strus. You know, you have Marcus Smart and I gave the guy, what's his name, Pritchard. I gave him, I forgot to say his name,
Pritchard.
I still forgot it, but boy's been balling. Derek White has been a big step up for them. I like the guards from Boston. The guards from Boston are better than the guards.
Wow,
from Miami.
Are you saying they're out physicaling the physical Miami
Heat? Bigger
is
team.
That what was over here?
VC said it earlier in the show. They're a bigger team. They have the length that Miami doesn't have, and that's a big part of this. They're breaking down physically as well. That's true too. But let's point something out. You know about the Heat in their last 9 playoff games. Now they're 4-5, and in the 5 losses, 4 of them they went down by 20. 3 of them they lost by 20. I mean, they have not really played well. 4-5 in 9 playoff games is not playing well. They escaped the series with the Sixers, and they're not going to escape this series. They just have not played well, and is it they broke down? Is it that Jimmy doesn't have enough support? They've got a lot to discuss in this offseason.
Vince, you get the last word. What do you think? Miami, who's to blame? What's to blame?
it's what's to blame is, of course, is their injuries. And then you have guys, and I give a lot of credit to Kyle Lowry. I give a lot of credit to Jimmy Butler still going out there doing what he needs to do. But now when you're in and out of the lineup because of injuries and who's going to be there, who's not available, now you're talking about your cohesiveness. You're talking about now just being in rhythm, understanding who gets the ball. Usually at a particular, let's say the 6-minute mark, Tyler Hero's coming in. Now they're running the offense through him. He's not available as well. So I think a lot of injuries started this thing. And then from there, it's just kind of just togetherness and cohesiveness and understanding who's in the moment. Because now you're just plugging and playing get different guys and expecting something from them like a Duncan Robinson.
But one of the things you got to love about them, they never make excuses, especially Jimmy Butler.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen. We're going to have Game 5 of the Eastern and Western Conference semifinals coming up in hockey. Alan, you wanted to do this highlight, like thriller of the night with me, right?
Let's do it.
This is a man of many sports here. So it's Colorado.
Fake it till I make it, but yes.
So the Blues are trailing 3-2 at this point. Justin Falk puts in the goal.
This has been a heated series. It's been a close series. Again, the Blues are a Stanley Cup champion. They know what it takes. The Avalanche are trying to get there. And this coming, the Blues are making it very difficult to put them away. This is a highlight here. Look at this. Landeskog. If you're Nick Leddy, I mean, didn't you, Pat Bev, call somebody a traffic cone recently?
Yeah, a cone.
That's a traffic cone. Look at this, man. Center can't get there. He's gassed. Oh, Nick Leddy.
Oh, my goodness.
Broke some ankles there, and the hats come down for the Hattie.
Yeah. But, here we go. Keep on going, Alan.
No. You have
no this. Robert Thomas, the goal. I mean, the Blues tied.
Like
it goes
said,
into
hard
overtime.
To kill.
Right? Just 3.5 minutes into OT. They get the game winner.
Here's Bozak. Lines and shoots. He scores! Tyler Bozak in overtime has forced game 6 in the series.
So the veteran Tyler Bozak, how about that coming up in the big moment?
Leafs fans wish he was on the blue line right now.
Oh,
but for them,
goodness
yes.
gracious. The Blues stay alive. They win 5-4. They force a game 6. I mentioned it. All of your semifinals come tonight on ESPN and the app. Our coverage of Rangers Hurricanes starts at 7 Eastern. The series tied at 2 games apiece. The battle for Alberta heads back to Calgary with the Oilers up 3-1. Drama. And coming up, big news out of the NFL. Colin Kaepernick gets a tryout with the Raiders. Is this possibly the first step toward an unprecedented comeback? And where is Lamar Jackson, the superstar quarterback, absent from OTAs, not talking to the team? Just what does it all mean? We get to the bottom of it on Get Up.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
To the NFL, where the Raiders brought in Colin Kaepernick for a workout behind closed doors yesterday, according to Adam Schefter. This marks Kaepernick's first NFL workout since 2017. Kaepernick last played in the NFL in 2016 for the Niners, the same year that he started kneeling to protest social injustice. As Lewis Riddick and Teddy Bruschi are back with us, we don't actually have video of his workout yesterday. Nobody has seen that. But yet, after not playing in the NFL for 6 years, Lewis, in your estimation, could he still play quarterback in the NFL?
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Yeah, Hannah, I think it's highly probable, it's highly possible that he could play quarterback in the NFL, at the very least as a number two quarterback who is there to go ahead and, you know, by the very definition in terms of scouting, scouting departments, could be someone who could hold down the fort for 2 to 3 to 4 games in the event that a frontline starter got hurt and really keep the team competitive. I think at the very least he could do that. Now, as I've said many times, and I've said already on this show, I would have loved to have been there to see exactly how Colin looked like in that context, in that environment, with Josh McDaniels running a workout, asking him to do the kind of things that he's going to ask his quarterback to do within that specific offense. Because then you could really speak on this, you know, with in an informed manner and in a very intelligent manner. And look, I'm going to bet on the fact that in order for the Raiders to bring him in there and for Colin to continue to push to try and play in the NFL, despite not playing for 6 years, that he's ready to go and that he is one of the top 64 players on this earth that can play in the NFL at that position.
I mean, listen, he has his unique skill set. The quarterbacks on the roster now, obviously Derek Carr is the incumbent. They have Jarrett Stidham there, very familiar with McDaniel's offense. They also brought in Nick Mullins. Teddy, how would you see the Raiders potentially using Kaepernick?
Well, just referencing also what Lewis said, it's a big if. You know, I mean, this is, it's finally getting into the mode of serious, because these workouts, when they're individual and private like this, a team legitimately has, you know, an interest in you. So, I mean, Colin Kaepernick, if he has the ability and if he ends up being a number two like Lou is talking about, then if we flash forward all the way to where if I'm a defensive linebacker going up against a team that has Derek Carr and all of a sudden Colin Kaepernick's back there, they showed how they use him a little bit, or that he's capable in the preseason, all of a sudden it's like you're thinking, okay, how will they use him on third down? How will they use him in the red area? I mean, is there going to be a package? So it just makes things a little bit more complex for the defensive game plan. And there's a lot that has to happen before we get to that, I understand, because after this workout now, Hannah, now they really have to decide that, okay, if we move forward, what are all the other things that this encapsulates, and can our players handle it, and can the coaching staff and organization handle it?
Well, certainly the Raiders had to handle so much last year. We know they're capable of handling a lot. And as Kaepernick has said himself, he could be an asset in so many ways, including in a business sense. So, listen, hasn't played since January of 2017. We will see. Big story we're following elsewhere in the OTAs this week, the absence of Lamar Jackson. Coach John Harbaugh was asked about his quarterback and the contract negotiations with the team.
We've been down this road many times, right, through the years. So I'll just let Lamar speak for himself on that. It's for him to talk about. You can ask him.
Lewis, it's such an interesting situation. As we know, Lamar represents himself. We understand that he has not proactively contacted the team. At least that's what folks know from the outside. Should he be attending OTAs without a new deal?
No, absolutely not. And I've said this numerous times as well. If he was being represented by an agency or by an agent, I would expect what with 100% certainty that they would advise him not to attend anything, not to step foot on a football field until he has the kind of financial security that is coming his way. It just would not be smart in any way, shape, or form. I think Lamar Jackson knows that as well. I just think what obviously makes this more interesting or more complicated is the fact that he is the player and he is the representation. And we haven't heard him say anything about the specifics as far as where this contract negotiation stands. And that's what makes us sit here and wonder, like, where exactly is his head at? But no, he shouldn't be there. Not at all.
So you're saying he shouldn't step on a football field. Teddy, I want to get to you in just a second. But are you saying that what if he doesn't have a deal week one of the season?
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. Look, I still feel as though that he shouldn't step on the football field then. Look, this is a guy who puts himself in harm's way at a very, very high clip. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's just who he is. That's just how he plays. That's how. That's why Lamar Jackson is Lamar Jackson. That's why we run his highlights on our airwaves over and over and over again. That just wouldn't be smart from a business perspective for me, you know, from the outside looking in. Now, I don't know. Lamar maybe looks at this differently. Maybe he does show up when the season starts. But if I was representing him or if any other agent was representing him, I am sure they would say, if we can't get a deal done by the time that the regular season kicks off, you cannot report, you cannot play. You are jeopardizing your future and your future earnings potential in a way that I just would not be comfortable with doing. And I'm sure many other agents would not be comfortable doing.
Teddy, what are your thoughts in that regard?
Yeah, there's power in silence, isn't there? Everybody wonders what Lamar Jackson is doing, and you've got no agent to talk to. There's no leaks or anything like that about anything from the Lamar Jackson sort of camp, and he's just sitting there and saying, I want my money. And I'm telling you, everything that Lewis says, there's not one teammate in the locker room that opposes to anything that's being done by Lamar Jackson, because when business starts creeping into the whole team aspect and the emotions of, you know, you love the Ravens and love your teammates and loyalty and all that stuff, all athletes understand business. We're talking business now. It's not personal, and I'm not coming there until I get what I deserve and I'm happy. And everyone knows Lamar Jackson deserves to be paid.
Yeah, kind of the opposite of what we've seen out of the Cardinals, right? And all the chatter that we have heard regarding Kyler Murray on both sides. So you're in the Ravens front office, Lewis. What do you do now?
I guess I sit and wait because Lamar is driving this bus. You know what? I think, you know, the only thing, like, you know how often I talk about relationships, Hannah. And I'm sure Eric DaCosta and Ozzie Newsome and John Harbaugh, they all have a great relationship with Lamar personally. I mean, they interact with this guy on a daily basis. So I'm sure that right now they are trying. Look, they know it's in their best interest to have him locked and loaded and ready to roll and happy and moving forward with this football team, because they're in the business of winning football games. They're not in the business of having press conferences. They're not in the business of talking about when their player is going to show up. They're in the business of having their best players on the field and winning games. That's what Steve Bisciotti pays them to do. So you're hoping that they're able to conduct business in a way that allows Lamar to be there week one. That's what I would be trying to do, however that is. And look, and Eric DaCosta, the general manager, has already articulated the fact that, look, Lamar's driving this bus. I'm sure, look, I haven't talked to Eric DaCosta, but I'm sure he has reached out to him and said, hey, how can we get this done? How can we move this forward? But this is on Lamar's time right now. And as Teddy said, you know, there's power in silence.
Yeah, you could be looking at Tyler Huntley in week one if this dialogue does not heat up. All right, gentlemen, thank you so much. And coming up, Steph Curry on the verge of yet another NBA Finals appearance. If indeed he gets that fourth title, does that put him on par with LeBron James? We discuss, and Sneaky Hembo is ready. It's Pat Bev on the hot seat. What was the last team to reach the NBA Finals with their top two scores 25 or younger? Pat Bev, coming up. Do you know?
I don't know.
Got an idea? All right.
I got an idea, though, for sure. I got an idea.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Toriel Splendor, Pat Beverly is going to try to answer this question. What was the last team to reach the finals with their top two scorers 25 years or younger?
I'm going OKC against Miami Heat.
OKC, the Thunder would be correct.
Ah! Yes! Woo! Me some, Miss Hannah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, mama, wow. Yeah.
So impressive. Yeah. That means you're 1-0 against Hembo.
And for viewers, so you guys know, we didn't go back and I found the answer. I knew the answer before, so.
It's all here. Yeah. It's all here. Yeah,
tell them the truth.
The man is a machine. He's got the kicks. He's got the cool jacket. Oh, we're ready to go. We're all just living in Pat Bev's world.
I get it from you, Swag Champ.
There you go. Swag Champ. I'll take it, man. Game of the night. All right. Celtics and Heat. Celtics really turned this thing around in the third quarter. Jason Tatum with the jumper over Jimmy Butler.
Jason Tatum really set the tone in that second half. That first half was sloppy. It's still a little sloppy. Our bodies all over the floor. But there's Tatum coming again one-on-one. But Max Strus, the only shots he saw go in were against him.
Poor Max Strus. The backcourt had a tough night. Jaylen Brown had a tough first half. But, boy, did he turn it around as well. The Celtics finished that third quarter on a 10-0 run while Miami was missing 38 three-pointers. Yeah, 38. Oh, poor Strus. There he is again. Tatum, 22 points, 12 boards, 9 dimes. Celtics are up by 17. And
there
goes Brown. Whoa, Pat Bev, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I love that dunk. If that was me, I would have fouled him, but I love that dunk.
Finally, it's 93-80. Boston takes a 3-2 series lead. We'll have game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Heat and the Celtics tomorrow night at 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific on ESPN and the app, with the Celtics up 3-2. Look, they can close it out at the Garden. The Countdown crew is going to get things started at 7:30. Meanwhile, down by the Bay tonight, Warriors can also close out at home. They host the Mavs, Game 5, Western Conference Finals. Another chance to clinch a finals berth. And under Steve Kerr, Golden State is 8-1 in the conference playoffs with a chance to clinch at home. Of course, they're across the Bay from where they clinched all those other finals berths. And Vince Carter is joining us now. So, Vince, great to have you with us as well. Guys, is this... Let me start with you, Pat Bev. Is this a foregone conclusion tonight?
Yeah. Good night. Good riddance. Adios. Hasta luego. I don't even know any other.
The party's over.
Yeah.
Sayonara.
Peace out. However. Yeah. But and that's not to discredit Dallas. They've been having a hell of a season so far. You got to give Steve Kerr a lot of credit. I don't think we give him enough credit what he's done with this basketball organization. Through in and out. I'm talking about through injuries and health. They're ready. They have something to play for. The disrespect that they've been getting from the media the last couple of years, them being unhealthy. And we definitely won't hear the last of this from Draymond, so for sure.
All right, we're looking at potentially 6 finals in 8 years here. Yeah, as Vince said, we out. Okay, so let's say that the Warriors, who are the favorites in Vegas to take the title, let's say Steph gets that 4th ring. Where do we put him in the pantheon of the great players of today, i.e. LeBron James, who happens to have 4? Yeah.
Generationally, I think he closes the gap with LeBron when it comes to the greatness of Steph Curry and what he means. Again, generationally, we have these discussions about LeBron and Michael Jordan. We put these top 2, top 5 lists together all the time. And Steph can make a claim to be in the conversation for all the ways that he impacted the sport, not necessarily just on the court, where obviously making shots like that and being a good showman and winning championships, of course, and winning MVPs and everything else that he's done, scoring titles. But it's how he's changed the game, the way we see the game. He entered the league in 2009. The Knicks missed him by 1 draft pick. I'll never get over it.
Oh,
but
my goodness.
What it looked like in 2010 compared to what it looks like 12 years later, his fingerprints are all over the style of play. And I think that also has to be in the conversation when you talk about his impact generationally.
Vince, what do you think?
I think he's right there. I always have thought he's been right there in the mix, but now this solidifies it. If he wins this championship and an MVP, you can't not talk about or have that conversation without talking about a Steph Curry because of all of the things Alan said. I mean, he's everything you want from your superstar player, from a dynamic player, an elite player, a franchise player. Steph Curry has and has done in his career. So why not? And I feel like he's been disrespected somewhat in that sense, in my opinion, because I think he's been there. But this really solidifies it.
All right, so when we look at how wide is the gap between Steph Curry and LeBron James, you've obviously gone against both of those guys, are completely different players. But what is it like guarding Steph? Just how difficult is it?
It's probably the most difficult I've ever had against anyone in the NBA, and that's to be totally honest. Just his ability to navigate through screens, his ability to shoot the ball from as far as he can makes the game that much harder. But the gap, I think Steph is right there. I don't think the gap is that far at all. I think he's right there. I think he's been proving himself each and every year. And to be able to do it at that size, like he's not 6'3 or 6'4.
Yeah.
He's not dunking on you and all that. He's just doing it all skill. So you have to give him a lot of credit, him and his training staff.
That's why you talk about it. They're not the same kind of player, but listen, does he have to win the title to be considered on par with LeBron James?
I mean, adding the title just makes it easier to have that conversation, the fourth title to equal it.
Right.
But, you know, we talk a lot about Heat culture. Let's talk about Warriors culture, because that's also why you can put Steph in this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron has jumped around to win his championships. Steph has stayed where he is. And, in fact, they built through the draft properly with him. Klay Thompson might be the greatest teammate in the history of the sport. I mean, he is the Scottie Pippen, but he's the Scottie Pippen that 10, 20 years from now is going to write a book saying that he didn't get enough credit. Mm. Like, Klay is a guy that understands. Draymond is a guy that understands that Steph's the engine, but we provide the fuel. Like, it all works. Steve Kerr and what he's done, how they took a two-year hiatus and didn't just blow it up and start over. No, no, no.
Every other team does.
Exactly. That's like,
right.
They're getting old. It's time to blow this thing up. No,
they didn't panic.
We're going to wait. We got some draft picks. We'll keep developing, and we'll now turn this into a second dynasty, which I think they are on the verge of.
It's interesting that you compare Klay to Scottie Pippen, because I was thinking too, Dwayne Wade taking a back seat for that Heat championship.
It's a much better one. I just wanted to make the joke about Scottie, but you're right. What D-Wade did in Miami was certainly on par of great teammates. Yeah.
Oh, man, Vince, I know you don't like to compare players. I know it makes you cringe. Mm-hmm. You told us that last hour.
No.
And yet, how do you see these two? Do you see LeBron and do you see Steph Curry basically in a league of their own?
I mean, they're definitely up there and everybody's chasing those guys. They're definitely in a league of their own. And I think Kevin Durant should be talked about as far as another one who should be up there, at least talked about. So, you know, I want to hop back on that teammate stuff. And that's important because I want to mention that Steph Curry, the superstar that he is, and he's changed the game and all the things that and accolades that we've given him and spoke about. He's an unselfish superstar. You know, he understands the dynamic. He understands that he needs those other guys like a Klay Thompson, like a Draymond, and understand their importance to them. And he makes sure that they're able to do the things that they need to do to make him who he is as well. So, you know, another credit, and that's another reason why I love Steph and what he brings to the table, because he's an unselfish elite player. And he also, let's note, he took a backseat to KD to do what he needs to do to win a championship because it was about championships more, though, than anything else.
Very, very good point about being a good teammate. So as we wrap up this Warriors appreciation segment, how many points did Steph drop on you, like, at what was the worst?
The worst? Ooh. I don't know. We might have to bring up the stats. I don't know. I don't know. I remember nobody giving me a good 40 or 30.
But
maybe a hard ass 25 or something like that. But no, you have to give the ownership a lot of credit though. You have to, like what we talked about, we have to give the ownership a lot of credit.
Yes.
They've been hurt. They've been kicked while they've been down. Ownership stayed with it. They brought in younger pieces around them. They kept Wig. They kept Draymond. They kept Klay.
That's right.
Injury after injury, they stayed loyal, and this is paying off. So you have to get ownership a lot of credit.
And they drafted well. I've got research on that, so we'll get back to that question.
Okay. Hey, Hannah.
Let's move on. We can stay on the Warriors.
Okay.
We're going to have a lot of time to talk about these guys probably. But listen, what about the Nets? Because they're facing a ton of questions for next season. Obviously, we're talking about him. KD is going to be 34. He's missed 64 games over the past two seasons. Did average almost 30 per game last year. most since his MVP season back in the day. But we have Ben Simmons then. He didn't suit up for Brooklyn after being traded midseason from the Sixers. That's 33 games, including those four playoff games as they were swept by Boston. And then, of course, the big X factor, Kyrie, missing most of the season due to his vaccination status. He has a player option for this summer. He could opt out, or he could make north of $40 to $50 million per season on a new deal. So should the Nets sign him to a new deal?
Yes. I don't think there's anyone else like Kyrie out there. And we've seen this past year, it's not about money with Kyrie, obviously. We've seen that strong and committed in his beliefs. But, you don't find another player like Kyrie, not at all.
All right, do they have
what kind of deal?
Vince?
Right, yes. Vince, go ahead.
What kind of deal? Go ahead, Alan.
No, because that's exactly what I was going to say.
That's just my question.
Yes, and that's exactly it. Because as Pat Bev said, you got a guy that for 3 years in Brooklyn has averaged 27 a game, 6 assists a game, 5 rebounds a game, shooting 49% and 41 from three. Yeah, I want that player. Problem is,
but he has to be available.
How often am I getting that player?
Right.
Well, in 3 years, he's played 49% of the games. So what's the trade-off? So exactly what Vince said is exactly the conversation that Sean Marks and Joe Tsai have to have when discussing what to do in the future. What kind of deal? Because I know when you're on the floor, you're one of the best players in the game. I want that. But I don't know how often you're going to be there. And you can tell me, no, I promise I'm going to play. This time I mean it. But I don't know if I'm going to trust you at this point. So it has to be an incentive-laden deal. Does it have to be a, I'll give you a one and a team option and a team option and a team option, and I'll decide each year, are you committing to us? I think it's the only way you can go if you're Brooklyn, because if he walks into free agency, here are your two choices, Detroit or San Antonio. You want to sign with them? Go ahead. But you can stay with us, but it's got to be under our terms now, because we did your terms for the last 3 years, and you weren't available.
Okay, I want to put you in that locker
and
room,
Ellen.
VC. You and Pat Bev. I mean, you're his teammate. You know, he hasn't been around. He missed a lot of games, not only this season, but the season before. He chose not to play for various reasons. So what kind of deal do you think he deserves?
Well, I'll say this first before you go, Pat. Yeah, I'll say this. You know, I like what Sean Marks did, though. He got in front of this early. He set the tone early on what's expected and what's going to happen from then on out. We let you do it your way prior to, and your availability kind of hurt our chances, because I felt the Brooklyn Nets are very capable of going and playing deep into the playoffs. So now what does he say? No, availability. If you're going to play for us, so you're going to be here, your availability matters. So if I'm in a locker room, you know, I want to have that conversation with them, just like I think Pat Bev and everybody else will. Getting them to understand how important he is to our team. I mean, Allen ran off those numbers. Those are superstar, elite superstar numbers. And if you have something like that on your team, you win and you just build around that. But right now, it's not even about your basketball play. It's just your availability, because when Kyrie is there, our team is good and we're very capable, because we can now add pieces. You have a Seth Curry. You have Joe Harris. You have Ben Simmons. You have guys that did not play that will complement what he brings to the table. And he showed he's unselfish. He's an unselfish player. James Harden comes in. What does he say? You run the point. Right. I'll get off the ball. And look what he did. So he's very capable.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let's not get it twisted. Like, Kai loves to play basketball. So I don't think it's
the
point where he's out there like, I don't want to play. He has his strong beliefs. Everyone has their strong beliefs. We have to respect it. Like, we have to respect everyone. And when we don't do that, we're not being American. So that's just the foundation of it. But when it comes to, like, playing
the business side,
he comes to playing basketball, he's going to pack the house. He's gonna be the most skilled player on the floor at all times. He's gonna be exciting, and little kids love to watch him play. I'm an adult, and my kids love to watch him play. So,
is an incentive-based contract fair?
I mean, I'm not a GM, so I don't know how that goes. But if I'm Kyrie, obviously I want everything the player's way, obviously, and ownership want things their way. I think they're meeting the middle, but I don't think it's anything drastic, though. I don't think it's anything to a point where it's a team option. You can't get Kyrie Irving a team option. That's just disrespect. It's just something you don't do. So I don't think it's anything of to that point. But obviously, there's probably be some games played and some stuff like that. But again, you can't control that due to COVID also. So right. It's kind of been a break type of thing.
Yeah, chose not to play in the bubble as well. So obviously, the best thing for everybody in Brooklyn is to have Kyrie on the floor. However right. that gets done.
Right.
All right. Okay, guys, coming up, wait till you hear the one thing Dak Prescott said yesterday that will have expectations in Dallas going sky high, because let's face it, they're always sky high, right? Until they disappoint you at the end of the season. We're going to Dak it up on Get Up.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back on Get Up with Lewis Riddick and Teddy Bruschi playing either or. Lewis, let's start with you. Who are you more confident in to win the division title, Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert?
Look, I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes, Hannah. I know there's a lot of people who are right now on the Justin Herbert train, but I think this offensive line in particular in Kansas City is really what sets the difference. And we all know that offensive line play has a direct correlation to quarterback success in the NFL. They have fortified this offensive line. They have made an addition at right tackle with the drafting of Darian Kennard out of Kentucky that is really going to help them. I think the wide receiver position is going to be just fine. It's going to be as strong as ever. And I think Kansas City is here to stay.
All right, AFC East. Teddy, more confident to win that division, Tua or Josh Allen?
I don't really understand the question because Lewis had the tough one, okay? He had the tough one. So I'm going to say Josh Allen and just exercise the power of silence like Lamar Jackson. So Josh Allen.
All right. It's a team game. We know that. It's not quarterbacks winning a division. All right, Teddy. In the NFC East, who are you more confident in? Dak Prescott and the Cowboys or Jalen Hurts and the Eagles? Lewis.
Yeah, I'm Dak Prescott here all the way. Look, I believe that Dak has shown that when teams force quarterbacks on third down to have to play from the pocket, he can play at a very, very high level. And until Jalen Hurts addresses that specific aspect of his game as a quarterback, we're going to have more questions than answers. There's no doubt that he is a fantastic runner of the football. He is fantastic on first and second down, and that they have tried to give him more help this year and really just surround him with weaponry, as you should do any young quarterback. But Dak has answered this question about himself at this point, so I'm riding with Dallas until proven otherwise.
All right, and he was answering questions yesterday at OTAs about his health. Here's what he had to say.
I mean, healthy. Healthiest I've been in a long, long time. So I'm just blessed to start there and to be able to come in healthy and just to work on myself and just overall my whole game, and not just particularly getting one element of my body healthy and just being all out there and not having any restrictions or held back from being engaged in the team activities. And just it's exciting.
Okay, at least we not forget the ignominious ending to their season and that loss to the 49ers. Lewis, why should we have faith that they're going to be better this year?
Yeah, because I'm going to have to believe, Hannah, that the coaching staff in particular will manage these end-of-game situations, end-of-half situations, situational football, something that we have just worn out talking about, you know, on our airwaves, and how important it is and how it is a difference maker between wins and losses in the NFL. Those games decided by 7 points or less. I'm just going to have to believe that Mike McCarthy and his staff are going to be better in those situations and allow this football team to win those tight games and manage those situations better. That I just have to, because the football team, I think, from a personnel perspective, has what it needs to compete at a very high level with any team in the NFL. It's those situations, though, that they have to be better at, and I think they will be better at it. Otherwise, they're going to be looking for a new job.
Yeah, otherwise, you got Sean Payton waiting in the wings. Okay, Teddy, think that the Cowboys are the favorites to win the division? Would they be your pick?
Yeah, they wouldn't be. I would go with the Philadelphia Eagles. I am picking them to win the NFC East, and all the great things that Lewis said about Dak Prescott, and now he has to learn to do them all over again without Amari Cooper, with new receivers, with a different team. So, and to assume that the coaching staff, they'll get these situations worked out. I'm not going to do that with these guys because, I mean, just to get to those situations in those playoff moments is so different. It's so hard and difficult. And I think the one thing that really was impactful on that team was the defense and how they were able to take away the football. So then it's like, I think the big question is, can the defense do that again? Can Trayvon Diggs have double-digit interceptions again, which is an absolutely explosive year for a cornerback? And then Micah Parsons, I mean, 13 sacks, I think it was. So those two players specifically almost are just as important as Dak Prescott, because getting those turnovers was instrumental to their success.
Listen, Micah Parsons was all over the field. He was a revelation. He did disappear, though, at the end of the season and in that final game. And it was their offensive line, all that shuffling, that lack of protection and lack of confidence on the part of Dak. And then he began to slide. Listen, is that going to get better this season? Lewis?
Yeah, that's a great, like, I mean, those are all great questions. There's no question about that. But I just do believe that, look, the offense, the coaching staff in particular has remained constant this year. They didn't lose Kellen Moore. They didn't lose Dan Quinn. Mike McCarthy, he knows that he is going to come under fire if he is not able to handle this football team in situations that are just really, that really lead to them winning football games much better than he did in 2021. I think they will get that done. I think they will go ahead and address some of these personnel issues, and they will be able to compete with the best teams in the NFC, and they'll be right there in the end.
Hope always springs eternal with Dallas, doesn't it? All right. Thanks, gentlemen.
Yes.
First Take is coming up next. What happened to the Heat last night? Are they done? And should the Nets offer Kyrie that long-term deal? It's First Take. Molly, Stephen A., Big Perk, next. Sunday morning, the most famous race on the F1 circuit, all the glitz and glam of the Monaco Grand Prix. Our coverage begins at 7:30 Eastern with Grand Prix Sunday, and the race starts at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, right here on ESPN and the app. I'm Hannah Storm in for Greeny. It was fun. Y'all have a great Thursday. Here's First Take.